Rates fall, but refinancings are limited. So the first story says, hey, man, everybody's filing to try to refinance. And the next headline says, yeah, everybody's trying, but they can't get it done. We'll tell you about it. 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Now it looks like FCC commissioners are saying the DTV rollout has been botched. No one was put in charge of coordinating all the organizations necessary, and they knew of trouble brewing for a long time. Digital TV launch is in shambles, they say. Thank heavens it's not a hurricane headed our way. Just thought I'd brief you on that. David, California, you're on Liberty Roundtable Live. Sir, how are you?
Hey, morning, Sam. And, you know, I didn't catch who your co-host is this
morning. Kurt Crosby. His name is Kurt, sir.
Yeah, hey, morning, Kurt.
Howdy, David.
Yeah, not bad. Hey, you know what I was looking at, and this kind of fits with what you were talking about. The you're familiar with that big Tennessee Valley Authority dam that busted loose a couple of days ago? Or, excuse me, about almost 3 weeks ago down in Tennessee?
I'm not. I heard a little bit about it, but I don't know all the details.
Well, this thing is huge. It's actually 100 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez. Exxon Valdez
wow.
was massive with 10 million gallons. This is over a billion gallons. It could be a billion
wow.
one.
That's hard to fathom even, isn't it?
Oh, I know. And
wow.
Tennessee Valley Authority is really just criminal in this because they had this huge kind of a dam where they were putting all the ashes from their coal-fired plant. And their dam was, as I understand it, their engineers rated it for 1.5 million yards of ash, but they overfilled it to almost 6 million. So, you know, they blew out their engineers by almost fourfold. And
hold on, let me stop you really quick just to explain to people. Most people think, oh, ash, that's really light. What difference does it make? And when that stuff gets compounded, it's incredibly heavy, or compressed, I should say.
Sure. Well, what's even worse, though, is that when they cook coal, you know, when they burn coal, they still have a whole bunch of toxics within that ash. So they have mercury, arsenic, lead, and cadmium, and some radioactive isotopes. So
ouch.
If you get that ash flying around or spilled
in your
water. Yeah, then you're going to poison, and in this case, it's the Tennessee River, 300 miles of the Tennessee River. And I don't know if you got any listenership down the Tom Bigbee, which runs the length of Mississippi. The state of Mississippi, but this also flows into there. So this was well over a billion gallons of these hazardous waste. Now, anybody that owns land along the Tennessee River, their real estate values have fallen. And
with good reason why, I might add.
Beg pardon?
I said with good reason why, I might add.
Sure. Now, if you look at it, their real estate properties would have fallen because of the economy anyway, but they've been, you know, multiply harmed additionally because of this spill. Now, if it was a clean river and this spill hadn't happened, then anybody on the river, you know, a nice riverfront property would have been okay, and their land would have come back, and they... But this has essentially ruined real estate values for 300 miles of the Tennessee River plus the Tom Bigbee. So what I'm looking at is that, and you were talking about, say, for example, Citibank and these con artists that are running the financial world.
Yes, sir.
These guys have, if you look at how Exxon Valdez cheated Alaska, you know, it took them, there was a Supreme Court ruling only last summer, well over 20 years ago.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
I've got a break it's a hard break that I can't delay.
Oh, I
can you hold on?
Over.
No, can you stay with me and I'll hold you over?
Yeah, sure. It's
I'd greatly appreciate it. Hold on. This is fascinating. Stick with me, my friend. 800-313-9443, ladies and gentlemen. You want to join in the conversation? You have information on this? We'd love to hear from you. You got a question for David or more? We'll talk about that as well. We appreciate him bringing this to our attention because I heard a little bit about it, but I didn't know enough about this story. And wow, this is out of control, and we got to tell you about it. Stay with us. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Archives are always at republicbroadcasting.org. Tell all your friends, family, everyone you know you have a right to copy, please do. You want to email us a good tidbit? We'd love to hear from you. Sam at LibertyRoundtable.com. That's Sam at LibertyRoundtable.com. Thanks to everyone in the Uplink facilities and all the radio stations that have been on the line. Most importantly, thank all of you for listening. Thanks, Kurt and Carrie and Andrew and everybody at Accent Radio and Republic. We appreciate all of you. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty. We can and indeed will save America. Get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? Hey, thanks. live, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable for January 15th in the year of our Lord, 2009. I'm broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. David's online in California. But strangely enough, nationwide we're broadcasting, we're talking about this dam burst in Tennessee, in the Tennessee Valley, because I guess these coal-fired burning plants put too much ash in the behind the dam there, and it caused problems, and they had a breach, and it happened a couple of weeks ago. David's got details on it. So, David, how do you know so much about this?
Well, I actually work with a nonprofit that works with energy issues, and I'm out in San Francisco, but, you know, when we heard about this, we knew that the Tennessee Valley Authority, you know, treats the people of Tennessee and, you know, the whole region with contempt. They're just like, you know, you started off the show talking about the fat cats and the old boys that are really running the show, the financial world, and they really don't care. They're like slave masters, and they hire overseers to run their run their chattel. So
you're right. And these people have so much money; it's not even about money to them; it's about control.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Tennessee Valley Authority is, I mean, they're about as corrupt as you can get. They're international money. They really don't care. And so, you know, I with a telephone and a list of radio stations, I've been just, playing Paul Revere here. And
can I just tell you, this is just fantastic, though. When guys who are in specific fields, who have a lot of knowledge about something, I just can't bring up every news story, guys. I just don't have enough knowledge and enough time and a big enough staff or anything. So I appreciate David bringing us to this attention. Where can we learn more about it?
Well, there are a number of, if you go to, Dirty Coal TVA.blogspot. That's one group of local activists. There's also,
and you got to go to blogspot.com just so people know, for those who aren't
right.
Techie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. And then there's also a newspaper that's everywhere in the Appalachians. You go to Appalachian Voices. It's appvoices.org. That's a pretty good newspaper, and you can find any number of links through them. But those are two of the better ones. UnitedMountainDefense.org is another group. They're pretty much the same Dirty Coal TVA, and they're actually given daily updates. I think they've got Aaron Brockovich that's going to show up in the area there.
So let me ask you this then: what's going to happen going forward? Now we had the breach. Did it flood and stuff, or what happened?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is what I was just starting to tell you. First of all, they, as I understand it, they engineered this so-called dam for all of this this ash. And by law, they were supposed to keep the ashes kind of flooded, just covered with water so the ashes don't fly around in the wind. And so the engineering of the dam was supposed to hold 1.5 million yards, and a yard is pretty big. You know, it's probably well over 200 gallons.
That's 200 gallons of this ash-slash-water kind of mixture they've created.
Yeah, right? You'd call it a slurry, a kind of a slush. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
And so it was rated to hold about 1.5 million yards, but they overfilled it to well over 5 million, 5.5 million or so. So if, and this...
And hold on, just so I understand, though, size-wise, I don't even know how to give that proportions, but it's... Whatever it is, it's mammoth compared to what it was supposed to be. I mean, it's a significant increase, right?
Exactly. And it was only like 10 feet away from a river, you know. And so you start overfilling it by a small amount, you're going to have leakage into the river. When this thing blew open, it was raining down there in Tennessee. It was on the 22nd of December. So it was raining. It overfilled.
Merry Christmas.
It blew the thing out. And, yeah, and it was just before Christmas, so
just
Christmas
awful.
Advertising got all of the news, and this spill is bigger. It's, like I say, it's better than 100 times bigger than the Exxon Valdez, and it got very few headlines. They've had one hearing in the Senate, but essentially TVA, you know, they claim the check's in the mail and everything's right in the world.
Hold on, David. I don't mean to keep holding you over. I apologize.
Well, sure,
we
no
have
problem.
A long segment come up. Will you stay with me a little longer?
No, absolutely.
So I got a bunch of questions for you about this. This is intense. Hold on. 800-313-9443. I know a little bit about this, guys, but I didn't realize the mammoth scale and the complete blackout of the media on this thing. We'll talk about it. Hold on, y'all. broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. I'm my fellow Americans, happy to have you along. You are listening by your free choice to Liberty Roundtable 4, January the 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2009, as we promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers, using the supreme law of the land, even the Constitution of the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. Sam and Kurt with news the networks refuse to use. Now, this guy emails me, Clarence, and he says, hey, man, this guy you have on the line sounds like he's a carbon taxer. And we'll give David a fair chance to respond on that in just a second. But let me set this up. David's been with us for a couple of segments. He called in out of the blue. He's in San Francisco. But he's telling us about this Tennessee dam break. And basically, you got the power company over there in International Ties, pretty much basically putting ash residue from their making of power, if you will. And they had, by law, they were supposed to keep all this stuff covered by water so that it didn't create toxins in the environment. They didn't do that. The bottom line is they violated the rules and guidelines, and they didn't care. And as a result, the dam broke. And it's a story that broke on the 22nd of December, basically. Merry Christmas to all the folks downstream of this baby. It's right near a river. It's just out of control. It's toxic. It's causing all kinds of problems. And Merry Christmas to the folks. But it was basically a non-story because everybody was talking about Christmas and other, quote, economic issues that supposedly trumped this issue. I personally think it's a hot story, to say the least. David has the tales because he works for a nonprofit organization that has interest in this kind of stuff. So I appreciate him calling radio stations and bringing it to our attention. And like I said, sometimes we bring a lot of news to you. But you know what? A lot of times callers have more knowledge on a subject than I do. I'm not an environmental expert. I'm not a, you know, I mean, I know a little bit, but I'm certainly not your go-to guy on that stuff. I'm more of a finance guy. However, David's got the tales, and David, this guy emails and says, hey, you must be a carbon taxer. Do you want to respond to him?
Well, yeah, let me first of all say I'm a Green Party member, and I think that Al Gore is a phony, because technically, if you look at the carbon tax, he really is. You know, this is the biggest disaster of a spill in America, you know, in the lower 48, in the history of the country, and a carbon tax, hypothetically, would be based upon getting a disaster stamp. See, this thing is so huge that it should be declared a disaster, right? And carbon taxes are based upon cleaning up disasters. When they don't declare this a disaster, they can't claim credits for it. So
yeah, well, let me just tell you where I stand, David, so you understand. I am a constitutionalist, and I personally believe if there's disasters, the federal government has no authority, no ability, no financing, no money, no et cetera. They don't really have any ability to bail out anyone. That's number one. Number two, I don't really support carbon taxes. Now,
I don't either.
Okay. I believe the environmentalists are, and for the most part, there's certain groups who mean well, and there's certain individuals who truly believe in this stuff. However, I believe for the most part this environmental issue is used as a trump card to steal freedom and increase the power of worldwide government. Now, what I do believe, though, is God gave us the earth, and we should be wise stewards of the earth we've been given. So I do believe that we should take care of our environment. But I do believe there's also thugs, professional do-gooders, who are using this issue to control every one of us. And there's where I separate company with them. I believe we should care for the environment, no doubt about that. But I don't believe it to be a trump card to say we're needless eaters, or that we don't belong on the earth, or, you know, David can't burp, or any of that, because it'll ruin the environment. I think that they're all full of baloney. And so, anyway, I just want to make my stand clear on it.
Sure.
And my response is, you can say what you want about, you know, if you're a carbon taxer or not, and you say you're against them, which is great. What I'm saying to you is, whether you are or not, we don't have to agree on all issues for you to bring an excellent story to our attention, and for me to give you time and credence for the story you're bringing to our attention. This is a huge news story that's been flat out blacked out. For the most part, because I haven't heard enough about it at all. And so what I'm saying is, you and I don't have to agree on everything to bring forth a great story, nevertheless. And I mentioned that mainly for our caller's point of view.
Whether
he is or not is really, at this point, irrelevant, is my point.
Yeah, exactly. And a poison, you know, like arsenic or mercury or whatnot, that crosses libertarian, green, Democrat, Republican. I mean,
agreed.
Poison is poison.
Yeah.
And dealing with it, getting it cleaned up, making sure it doesn't happen again is what, you know, what I base myself on. The carbon tax scam, though, is, I mean, it's sort of one of these hypotheticals. I don't know if you know what a shell game is or a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, sure.
I mean,
government plays them all the
time. Social Security.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when these guys came up with carbon taxes, they originally were going to have it only in America. And so that if you were poisoning, you know, parts of Tennessee, they were going to give you the, you know, and you were a corporation that was nationwide, they'd let you plant trees in California because you were polluting in Tennessee as an offset. Well, after
which is psychotic by its very nature. When God said we're the stewards of the earth, he didn't say just trash one place and make up for it in another place and create the shell game to let me just rape the planet and get rich off it, predatory, belligerent capitalism, and at the same time pretending I'm the good guy. And then, hey, I'm backed by government with special protections and privileges and everything else against the rest of the people, right?
Right, and so what made it worse was then when they added NAFTA, they expanded it so that if you were polluting in Tennessee, then you could clean up in Mexico, or you could pollute in Mexico and clean up in Canada. And so then when they used up all of those credits, then they had to expand into GATT and do it more worldwide, and then they got the African Free Trade Agreement and all these other. So they're doing these shell games to expand their authority to pollute. It's not authority to clean up, because anybody in their right mind would want to clean up, but these guys want to make money instead of cleaning up. There's no profit in cleaning up. There's only profit in polluting. So it's one of these sick games. You know, if, say, for example, you've got an acre of land, and its average acre is 10,000 an acre, and you've got an old gas station there, it's going to cost you $2 million to clean up the hazardous wastes in there. What do you have when you're finished but a $10,000 acre? So, you know, there is no profit in cleaning up. There's common sense in cleaning up. There's wisdom in cleaning up, but there's no profit.
There's morality in cleaning up. There's integrity and honor in cleaning up. No doubt about that.
Sure.
And so, yes, to some degree, the government does have, at least on a state level for sure, the ability to demand appropriate responsibility there for the safety of people. I mean, there is some type of benefit or realistic appropriateness. You know, when the government is supposed to protect life, liberty, and property. Your life and your liberty and your property are all in jeopardy with a lot of this toxic waste that predatory capitalists are promoting, too. So the sad part about this is there are issues that are justifiable on some of these sides of the coin that we're discussing now, although I don't know that it gives government right to just basically steal all our freedom as a result.
Yeah, well, just to wrap it up and to give people an update on what's going on, the Tennessee River runs down into northern Alabama, kind of wraps around Huntsville, then crosses over to northern Mississippi, then it kind of feeds the Tom Bigbee Waterway, which runs straight down to the Gulf of Mexico, but then the Tennessee River also flows north through Tennessee again and then up through Kentucky to Paducah, where it spills into the Ohio River, and then it'll spill into the lower Mississippi. So this was a billion gallons filled with lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic, and radioactive isotopes. So these guys have not declared it a disaster. They're Republican senators, Democratic senators, and governors, and all of this other, and they're not declaring it a disaster. And this is cheating that end of the state. These people, to make sure that they...
Well, hold on. Stop for a second. On one hand, it's cheating the state. On the other hand, the federal government has no real right to declare a disaster and steal my tax dollars to clean that up over
there. Well, they do because of the waterway issue. In other words, this river runs almost immediately. It runs...
No, I understand. But then when you say the waterway issue, then at some point you can say, well, listen, Canada's above the United States and Mexico's below us and waterways run that way too, so we better have international agreements. And, you know, the problem is it turns global in a hurry, right?
Well, the idea that somebody upstream of you across a state line, if they have the right to poison you and you don't have the right to get reparations, that's the problem. And so that's why the federal government...
Hold on, you have the right to get reparations, but you got to go through the courts to get that, and the reparations that happen by the causer of the problem, not necessarily the taxpayers. I, as a taxpayer, didn't cause the problem.
Well, I don't want to get all philosophical. I'm trying to get this thing cleaned up. And it's no hypothetical. If they declare it a disaster, then all of a sudden the local health departments get additional money to be able to deal with, you know, making sure that the lead poisoning and the mercury poisoning and all of this sort of stuff gets dealt with.
Well, I support getting it cleaned up honorably. That's a good thing. And I certainly support getting the story out so more people know that it occurred. No doubt about that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things. I've been trying to round up local musicians to do benefits for these people, because essentially if you look at how the Alaskan oil spill cheated everybody up there. It took them 20 years to even get the Supreme Court to agree that they only get 5% or, you know, 15%.
Yeah, so much for a speedy trial, huh?
Exactly, yeah. They got cheated in a massive way, very public way, and they basically, I've called Alaskan stations as recently a couple of weeks ago, and they still haven't gotten much of a payout, even though that Supreme Court ruling was last summer. So they're still not paying. And in the case of this spill, this is why I was talking about land values. You know, these people have got to get independent real estate pricing locked in so that when this trial drags on for 20 years, they at least have a lock-in price. They also have to have early blood tests to find out how clean their blood was before this happened, and then if they have a lead or mercury buildup, cadmium buildup in their system, they have blood tests later to
Yeah, and the problem with that, though, is you violate people's freedoms and all these blood test requirements and everything else to prove
you've been
harmed.
Well, no, you have private doctors and your private holding of what your rates are, but or, you know, your levels are, but, you know, that's beside the point. In order to go through the courts, you have to have these things. If you can't prove that you had additional lead in your system, then you can't prove that you have a claim. I mean, this is the way that they've been doing those tort reforms. You know, if you don't have receipts, if you don't have proof, then you don't have a claim.
And I understand. All right, here's what I want you to do, David. We appreciate the update. We'll research the story. Give me a couple of quick keywords that people can research the story with on the Internet.
Well, I would say, again, dirtycoaltva.blogspot.com is a real good one.
All right.
Appalachian Voices is a newspaper up in there.
All right, buddy, we're flat out of time. Thanks so much.
Hey, no trouble.
Live 1-800-313-9443. I'm going to give a kudos to David for a couple of reasons, and then I want to talk about a couple of issues relating to that call. Number one, he brought forth a valuable story that I think we should know about, and I appreciate his update on that. I was not completely aware of the details of that story. Number two, you know what, when somebody tried to bring up who he was or try to expose him for who he was, he came flat out and, you know, said who he was, and, hey, I'm a member of the Green Party, and this is what I believe, and certainly he is pushing for the federal government to do something to clean this up.
Yeah.
And you know what, we would all agree that cleaning this up is a good idea, but we would just disagree on how to get that done. And on one hand, you can be critical of him and say, oh, whenever we tried to say, hey, we tried to take on constitutional issues, or, you know, he basically said, I want to dismiss that and talk about something else, which is what they're doing with the bailouts. Hey, Ron Paul, we don't want to hear from you. Let's you know, talk about, you know, how we're going to fix it, and let's promote more government. To some degree, he was doing that. However, he did not hide his agenda. And somebody would say, well, Sam, he didn't tell you who he was at first. Yeah, but, you know, you don't just call up and, you know, start the conversation off on a sour note. He was bringing up a story, but when he was, you know, clearly asked, he was very candid. He was not argumentative. He was not combative. He was willing to tell you what he knew. He was grateful for the time. You could tell by his disposition. You know, anyway, all I'm telling you is I'm going to defend David and say he was a great caller, and I appreciate him bringing the news story to the table. Now, I will say, though, that I disagree with David on exactly how to solve this. I mean, you got these government, quasi-international, corporate, I don't know what you call them, fascist, whatever, where it's basically power, so it's government on the grid, but yet it's private business profiting, but yet they're not even an American business, they're international. They have the lever of government pulled in their favor, so they have all kinds of insider trading abilities. You and I couldn't just float this toxic ash in the you know, behind the dam in the water there and, you know, get away with any of that stuff. Or, you know, then reparations are very hard to get. Someone says, well, Sam, you can't go to the courts because it'll take you 86 years in the courts to solve it. Well, now you're just bringing up greater problems with the Republic right now. Anyway, the bottom line is I disagree with him on how to handle some of this stuff. But I will say it was a valuable story. And I will say that the people should be on alert that this occurred. And I will say that there should be accountability there. And anyway, so I thought it was a very good call. And I thought it was educational, to say the least. Any other comments on it before I move on to the next piece, Kurt?
No, I don't think so. I think you covered it well.
Yeah. Kurt and I talk on the break. Sometimes he feeds me his thoughts and information, and then I paraphrase them. So sometimes I get credit where they're half Kurt, you know what I mean? That's okay. Kurt doesn't mind. He's a humble guy, and I just get all the credit. You know, it's kind of like a quarterback, you know what I mean? Kurt hiked the ball, or Kurt scored that touchdown, and just because I stood back there and threw, and everybody protected me so I didn't get nailed in the pocket, I'm all the star. But a lot of times it's not true. It takes Carrie and Andrew and Kurt and everybody else and callers and all of you and you know to make the show happen. And I'm just grateful for all your support. And I don't mean to be the guy in the limelight. I'm just telling you that I appreciate everyone. 313-9443, your calls and emails coming up with News the Networks Refuse to Use right here live on Liberty Roundtable Radio.